Lord Jesus Christ, many times in your life on earth, people bowed the knee to you and worshiped you, and you received their worship. We pray, as we have gathered this evening, you would receive our worship. We give you praise and thanks, for in you we have salvation and eternal life. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. It is a common saying that timing is everything. Sometimes when we use this phrase, timing is everything, what we mean is that a very pleasant and positive thing has happened in our lives, and that all the details dove together for such a positive outcome. On the other hand, when things don't work out so good, we say to ourselves, if only X, Y, Z had happened. We say timing is everything, but do we really believe the circumstances of our lives, whether pleasant or challenging, are ordered by blind fate or chance? Or as Christians, as we ought to believe, that God is the creator and ruler of heaven and earth, we read these words in the New Testament lesson, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. When we hear these words, we need to know that God is the one who determined when the fullness of time had come. Since God is all wise and all powerful, he alone knew the right time for his Son to be sent into the world, and he alone determined that the fullness of time had come for his eternal Son to take on humanity for the salvation of sinners. So my first point is, at just the right time, God sent his Son to redeem us from sin and death. Galatians 4:4-5, I'll read a little bit further in that passage. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of one woman, born under the law, so he might redeem those who were under a law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus was born of a woman. In order for God the Son to accomplish the mission his Father had sent him to redeem sinners, he needed to follow the pathway that God had ordained for him to accomplish this goal. God the Son was sent into the world by his Heavenly Father, born of a woman, the Virgin Mary. The only conception in human history done without relations between a man and a woman. This clearly reveals that in order for God to redeem us, it was his will, that his Son become human. The incarnation means that God became flesh, became human, and dwelt among us. As we know the familiar words of John's Gospel, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. While Jesus never stopped being God, he added humanity unto himself as he was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, fully God, fully man, yet without sin. Jesus was qualified to be our Savior because he was fully divine, and thus he was able to satisfy God's justice and holiness. Jesus was qualified to represent us to the Father because he was and is fully human. Because Jesus is both divine and human, he can act as our great high priest. In the words of Hebrews 4:15, that he is able to sympathize with us in our weakness. God sent forth his son, born of a woman. But he was also born under the law, as Galatians 4:4 says. Jesus was born of a Jewish mother, born into the Jewish nation, and subject to God's law. Throughout his life, he submitted to all the requirements of the law. He succeeded in doing all of God's will, where all the rest of humanity before and since have failed. Just as Jesus was baptized by John, John did not want to baptize Jesus because he felt like he needed to be baptized by Jesus, not the other way around. But Jesus prevailed on John to baptize him to fulfill all righteousness. And so that's a paradigm for all his life. Whatever Jesus did, he did for our sake, not his. And so he fulfilled all righteousness for us. And so the beginning of our salvation is as he was conceived by Mary, and then every step of the way, whatever he did for us. And so our salvation begins with Christ being conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. We're not told here in Galatians about the details of Christ's death, but elsewhere in Galatians, the Apostle Paul talks about the redeeming death of Christ. But here Paul is telling us that Christ became human and fulfilled the law to the fullest degree for us in order to redeem us from sin and death. And so just at the right time, Christ came into the world. My second point is, just at the right time, God adopted us through his only begotten Son. We are adopted into God's family. Through the one Son, God has millions and billions of adopted sons through faith in Jesus Christ. The purpose of Christ's coming was to redeem us and make us God's adopted children through that one and eternal Son, Jesus. And so God the Son has an eternal sonship, an eternal relationship with God the Father. God sends his Son to the world and adopts us into his family through what Jesus did for us. The time for our inheritance has become because the Lord Jesus completed his work of redemption for us. In the first three verses, the Apostle Paul makes the point in Galatians 4 that there's not much difference between a household servant and a minor child. Both were being taken care of by the father of the household, both physically and financially. It wasn't until the son became an adult that there was a huge difference between that son and that slave. God was preparing the world and his people for the timing of his son, the Messiah. God spoke through the prophets of old, making promises of this coming Messiah. And all the rituals of sacrifice in the Old Testament foreshadow and point forward to this day in which God's people will be given the full inheritance of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, the forgiveness of our sins and adoption. And all these blessings that the Lord Jesus accomplished for us are a demonstration of God's love and mercy and grace for his people. God sent his Spirit also into our hearts. Here in Galatians 4:6, the Apostle Paul says, "Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." The Holy Spirit was sent on the day of Pentecost when the Christian church in the fullness of new covenant blessings after Christ had ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. God sending forth His Spirit into our hearts is the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. And that's why we have the privilege of being able to cry out to God, Abba, Father. It's a term of endearment. God, our Father, is with us. We are His children through Christ, and we can cry out to Him and have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ and call Him our Father. It's an affectionate term within the context of a loving father and his relationship to his children. The word Abba, Father, is repeated in the prayer life of Jesus throughout the New Testament. In fact, in two passages, Galatians 4 and then Romans 8, 15 through 17, Paul says similar things. Romans 8, 15 through 17 says, For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. The Holy Spirit gives us strength to pray to God the Father on the basis of Christ's work for us. And the Holy Spirit also gives us assurance that we are God's adopted children and that we are loved by God. We need to hear that, especially when we realize how far we fall short of the mark. God loves us. No matter how many times you and I blow it, and we all do, God continues to love us. And the reason we can have this assurance is because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Jesus Himself addressed God as Father in Mark 14, 36, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He knew the cross was awaiting Him that very day. And listen to the words of Jesus. And He was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus, being fully God, fully man, cries out from a very dark moment in His life. On the night in which He was betrayed, and He knew what was coming ahead of Him, the dark hour of Calvary, in which He suffered God's judgment for our sins. In the midst of this crisis, Jesus is sweating great drops of blood, and yet at that very time, He cries out, Abba, Father. At the very point that you and I feel like God has abandoned us, Jesus was able to cry out for us and for Himself. We need to cry out to God and plead with Him by His Spirit, especially when we are in the dark night of our soul, in the hour of our difficulty and suffering. It's especially then that we need to lean upon the Holy Spirit to give us assurance that God hasn't abandoned us. He's with us just as much in the dark hour of the night as He is when the blessings are flowing. We need to follow our Lord in the school of prayer and acknowledge Him as our Father in the dark night of our soul. And we need to rely and depend upon the Holy Spirit and the assurances of God's love given to us in Holy Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ, who cried out, Abba, Father, invites us and empowers us by the Holy Spirit to also cry out to God in our suffering. So we can and should entrust ourselves into His care, for His timing is always right. It's not only always right for Jesus, it's always right for us as well. And the sending of His Son for the redemption of the world and the sending of His Spirit into our hearts. May we seek God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we seek to grow deeper in our love for Him and our reverence for Him. Let us pray. O God, You have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light, Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant that we who have known the mystery of that light of Christ on earth may also enjoy Him perfectly in heaven, where with You and the Holy Spirit He lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.